The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
Good morning. Welcome to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. I'm Sean Sayre here with you on a Friday morning. Yes, you made it to Friday. It's Friday, April 12th. And you're live with us here in the WTBR studio on Fort Federico. Glad to have you along for the ride this morning. We do have a great guest to talk with. We have Tom Bernard. He's the president and CEO of the Berkshire United Way. And Berkshire United Way just celebrated a major, major milestone on Wednesday. And we're going to talk all about that in the first half of the show. Talk about philanthropy and the philanthropic model and lots of other things, how you can volunteer in the community. This is the program for you. So stick around, and we'll do that right after we take a listen to the Berkshire weather forecast from the National Weather Service. Let's do that right now.
Berkshire weather.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Today, a slight chance of thunderstorms. Showers, breezy and not as cool with highs in the lower 60s. Temperature falling into the mid-50s this afternoon. South wind 15 to 25 miles per hour with gusts up to 45 miles per hour. Chance of rain 80%. Tonight, mostly cloudy. A chance of showers after midnight. Cooler with lows around 40. Southwest wind 15 to 20 miles per hour with gusts up to 30 miles per hour. Chance of rain 40%. Saturday, showers likely. Much cooler. Near steady temperature in the lower 40s. West wind 15 to 20 miles per hour. Gusts up to 35 miles per hour in the afternoon. Chance of rain 60%. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
And once again, when we run out of weather music there, it's usually not a great forecast. you know, if it just says sunny and 70, that's nice and simple. So you don't have to worry about it when you got wind and rain and things like that. But it is April. April showers, spring, you know, May flowers and other things. We hope. That is the weather forecast this morning. And this is Morning Drive, 89.7 WTBR-FM. Tom Bernard joins me. Good morning, Tom. How are you?
Good morning, Sean. I am great. It is rain season. It is mud season. It is pothole season. It's all those things that those of us in the Berkshires just know to be traditions.
Yes, right. Well, luckily, I hear the asphalt plant is open. So
I know.
Maybe those potholes will start to get filled. I've seen a few nasty ones that have gotten filled. Yeah. So we'll see.
And you know, this time of year before the plant opens, it's, you know, it's a holding action, right? Because what happens is you fill it in, and then the temperature rises, or it rains, or you get snow, and it scrapes away, and you're just, you know, throwing it and throwing it and throwing it, but you have to do it. And then once the plant gets in, you can do a little more.
And I hear that those words of experience from a former mayor here across the table.
I said, yeah, no, I just defaulted to, like, you know, base level programming or something.
But those are important things, right? Yeah. People expect that. But yeah, you don't want the cold patch just washing away.
Right.
Yeah, you want to fill those potholes. So hey, thanks for being here this morning.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Berkshire United Way, happy birthday. A great milestone, a centennial, 100 years of the Berkshire United Way celebrated on Wednesday night at the beautiful Colonial Theater here in Pittsfield. What an event that was.
Yeah, and don't we look great for our age? No, it really was a terrific celebration. You know, we did a little teaser on Sunday because April 7th is the exact incorporation date. This was the closest date that we could hit and get the Colonial and everything. Mm. I'm still coming off of that high a little bit.
I can hear it in your voice a little bit. You did a lot of talking over the last couple of days.
A lot of talking, but that's, you know, that's great. Mm-hmm. And, so many people came, and once we you sent out the save the date and the invite, and you know, the number started creeping up, and it was like 50. Okay, that's good. I'm getting to 100, 150, 150 is and then, you know, we topped out, and there were probably, you know, close to, like, you know, a little over 250 to 270 people there, which is unbelievably gratifying. It's just a sign of what this organization means to the community, how many people that we partner with, and how many good friends Berkshire United Way has in the community. I was saying to you before we started, I was looking at the attendance list yesterday and just going, oh, I didn't even get a chance to see that person or say hello to that person, or but it was just, it was really wonderful. We had two of our former CEOs, two of my predecessors, Candace Winkler, who did just amazing work during the pandemic with the COVID relief fund, and Chris Hazard, who was you know, a bastion of Berkshire United Way for so long and really defined our approach to community impact. So that was that was special. And then the program was unreal.
So let's talk about that program, because several notable guests and honorees, and you mentioned two former presidents and CEOs of Berkshire United Way, but of course one of the awards, or the major award that you gave away, was named for another former president and CEO, and one that most people in Pittsfield will instantly recognize, and that's Daniel C. Dillon.
Dan Dillon, you know, and I just knew Dan a little bit from my, you know, various roles in the community, and never had a chance to work with him deeply, but just knowing him in the little way that I did, knowing, you know, the legend of Dan Dillon, it really, it's inspiring. You know, those three people ahead of me are just unreal. And so
Dan was heavily involved here at PCTV, as you know, too, and he was a founding board member here. He was actually one of the first people I ever met when I started working in Pittsfield, because he was involved with PCTV as I was getting involved with it.
He was one of those people. I don't even, you know, you get it, getting your sea legs under you in a community like Pittsfield, it's like, oh, you have to talk to Dan Dillon.
No doubt about it.
And so he was
very giving of his time, and that's why this particular award, I think, means so much, right? Yeah. It's the, I wrote it down here, it's the Helping Hands, Caring Heart.
Helping Hands, Caring Heart Award. Right. And, you know, we recognize those people who, you know, who do lend their time and their talent and their unbelievably big hearts to the community. And when we were thinking and deciding to present this award at this event, there was just this sort of instant consensus around the table, and you know, folks said to me, you know, who do you think it should be? And I said, I really think it should be Mary Wheat. And they said, yeah, that was the name we were going to recommend. And absolutely, absolutely the right person. Mary is, you know, I think a lot of people in the in these kind of roles say this, you know, the people that you love to give awards to are the ones who are so, you know, so humble and, and self-effacing, and are like, what?
That was my first thought, too, is that she probably was honored, so, but humbled. Right?
Honored and a little nonplussed. And I know that, you know, so Mary, for those who don't know her, was one of the founders of the South Food Pantry, and the founder and longtime chair of the Thanksgiving Angels program. So just what she's done in the area of, you know, food access and food security is just unbelievably important. And we can find a way to talk about, you know, what the food system in the Berkshires is like right now, and especially the pantry system, just seeing increased demand. But the infrastructure and the system that Mary and so many others and the volunteers that she works with created, it's just invaluable, and just a chance to honor her. I know she received a lot of press last year when she asked for 900 boxes of cereal for her 90th birthday. And, you know, I think many multiples of that number came into the pantry, and you know she's stepped back from leading the Thanksgiving Angels directly, but she's still a force at the pantry. She's still a force in that program. And one of the things that we were able to do, and when we talk about volunteerism, a little later, our volunteer center was able to step in and help to coordinate Thanksgiving Angels back in December of 2023, and hopefully we'll continue to do that going forward.
And that's no small task either.
Oh, no, no.
That's a major, major effort. I know that I had a couple of representatives of that group on the show. It wasn't last year, it was the year before. Just hearing the logistics of how it gets done and how much food is distributed and how people receive it during that time. And that, and again, that's one snapshot, right, of
a year's worth
of work with a food pantry that serves so many people.
Yeah, and you know, you can call it a well-oiled machine, you can call it this precision operation, but it's all the time and planning, and then you just have, you know, you have a system, you know where what people are getting, and put together the packs, and you help them load up, and you know, there are smiles, and there's you know, just joy all around as people are helping to meet a really critical need and feed literally thousands of people in the community.
No small task during COVID also, and made it much more complicated in some ways of still meeting that goal, as so many things did. And you mentioned the fund. Remind me what the name of the fund was again that happened after
the COVID relief fund.
Thank you.
And that was led by, you know, Berkshire United Way, and we partnered with Berkshire Taconic and Northern Berkshire United Way and Williamstown Community Chest, and it really was a community-wide effort to raise and rapidly respond to needs in the community. And so,
and it's not like there was a lot of preparation, right? Everybody remembers that time where, you know, at one moment life was normal and the next moment everyone's locked up in their houses and nobody's you know, getting out to the office, or if they had to go to the store, it was an ordeal. And there, you know, there was great need at that time, and we didn't even know what the depth of the need was going to be, but this fund was there to sort of respond to that.
Right. And you know, it was getting the dollars in and moving the dollars out, just a very simplified, streamlined application process. You know, the eligibility, it wasn't as though you had to be an existing funded partner. You just needed to demonstrate a need and an opportunity and a way that the funds would help to support your work, and the nonprofit sector was just getting hammered, and whether it was, you know, being forced to close or run light or suspend, and there was just so much need, and this was our board chair Laurie Gallagher said, you know, in a time of darkness, this was a beam of light.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Such a great way to describe it. Yeah. We're speaking with Tom Bernard. He is the president and CEO of the Berkshire United Way, which just celebrated its 100th anniversary, its centennial this week. And we were just talking about the award that was given out. Let's talk about the keynote speech from Francis Jones Sneed, Professor Emeritus at MCLA. What a fantastic way to wrap up 100 years. I mean, you try and do that in about 10 minutes or 15 minutes. You did an excellent job.
Yeah, and that was the brief, right? When we asked Francis, he was like, hey, I would love to have you kind of reflect on the history of the Berkshires and Berkshire United Way, and you got like 12 minutes to do it, and you know, and Francis succeeded brilliantly, and that was the thing in thinking about who could bring that, you know, that energy, that authoritativeness. She just was my first choice, and very graciously accepted and did this. Yeah, it was almost a meditation on the flow of history in Berkshire County over 100 years, and then interweaving what Berkshire United Way meant and became and adapted to be in all of these, you know, all of these different eras.
Right.
And so taking a decade by decade approach, and, you know,
how many name changes?
Oh, my, my gosh.
I think everyone in the audience kind of registered that when she talked about that. But it does reflect, you know, changing to meet the needs of those times and those days.
And again, some of it was organizations coming together and merging. And some of it was, you know, the United Fund, Pittsfield Community Fund.
Yeah.
becoming identified as a community chest, mm-hmm. and then becoming the United Way of Central Massachusetts, and finally Berkshire United Way over a period, and yeah, that really registered with people in the audience, and obviously there was, you know, Frances had some fun with it, and when we got to the, you know, the 80s, and we were finally consistent for the last 40 years of our history, there was almost this, you know, this cheer of, yeah. All right, this is who we are. But you know, through all of that, and we did try to capture that. The two strengths are the adaptability, and then within that, the consistency of focusing on the mission, and focusing on helping to meet the needs of the community and meeting the community where people are in any given moment.
Yeah.
And you know, one of the lessons that really resonated with me, and this goes back to the Depression, you know, to the first decade of operation for Berkshire United Way, was a time, again, like we just said with COVID, an incredible need, and also the sense that the need was so great that there were never going to be enough resources to meet it. So one, it was how do you dig as deep as you can and encourage people to dig as deep as they can, and then to really be very focused on where can those dollars, those pennies, do the greatest amount of good.
Yeah.
And so early in our history, we took on this role of also sort of like community planning and, you know, landscape assessment, not just for ourselves to understand our work, but to understand community needs so that we could, you know, we could really stand up and meet them.
Yeah. And I think another thing, takeaway for me as she was, you know, going through the 100 years of changes and adaptability was also sort of the funding model and rising up to meet, you know, certain challenges, like you mentioned the Great Depression. She mentioned the Great Recession.
The Great Recession.
Is
absolutely
much closer in our own memories, you know, than the Great Depression, which feels more like something out of a history book for a lot of us.
Yeah. Even the gas crisis. You know,
gas crisis in the 70s.
Yeah.
And, you know, interwoven in there also was the fate of GE, right? That
absolutely
central, you know, economic engine of central Berkshire and actually ripples out to the entire county of Berkshire County. I remember Dan Dillon telling me at one point, way back, right around the time, because, of course, he was employed at GE.
Yeah.
And he was involved in a wave of those layoffs that she detailed, you know, in the late 80s and early 90s before he became the president and CEO of Berkshire United Way. And he said, you know, Sean, the funding model is tough now because, you know, we just don't have that base of employees where, you know, we have the giving at work, you know, and that was the driving model behind the Berkshire United Way. And of course that had to change and adapt as well.
Yeah. And it changes, it adapts. It's still part of our model. And so the workplace campaign is still, you know, is still one of the cornerstones of our work. But
it is
part of a mix of funding sources. And I'm really grateful that there are still so many companies that invite us in, that allow us to make the pitch to their employees, to, you know, just center that payroll deduction, that, you know, give it before you miss it model. And, you know, our workplace campaign ambassador, Pam Nisley, has just done really incredible work building and you know, rebuilding relationships, because for a couple of years there, it was all sort of at arm's length, and we're now getting back into, you know, in front of people, and it just helps to tell our story to people, and you can see the, you know, you can see the nods and those connections in a way.
Right.
But even going back to Dan's day, this model has experienced pressure, not just in the Berkshires, but, you know, nationally. And I mean, just think about the number of organizations that are, you know, have either merged or consolidated or shut down, but also the way that people work. It's not as though you know, went into a company, whether it was a GE or a bank, and you started as a let's say a frontline teller at you know, 50 cents or a dollar a week 40 years ago, and as you rose through the company to become a, you know, a manager or a VP,
right,
your leadership, your giving level became that leadership giving, and it was a it was a pipeline, and it was a renewable cycle. That just the way that people work these days is different. Those long, you know, those career longevity in that way is much rarer.
Yeah,
not. It happens, but right. It's not, yeah.
Yeah, definitely not as regular as it was, you know, with the average person going through, I think, three or four different careers, not jobs, but careers in their working life. So, yeah, totally different. And again, circumstances on the ground change, so.
Absolutely.
You change.
And then what people are interested in. So it's not that we, you know, we tailor ourselves to what people are interested in, you know, in a cynical way, but it's that we make the case of we are doing this community planning. We're doing this deep assessment. We're understanding the needs that are here. And hopefully as we present that case to you, it resonates and it inspires you to give or and give back as a volunteer. And we can pick that up again
in a bit. Definitely. And, you know, the needs are always there. It's not that the needs ever will go away, but they do change also.
They do change.
I would imagine some of the things that Berkshire United Way, in its former named and iterations from the 20s, 30s, and 40s, were focused on different needs in the community than you're facing now and this community faces now every day.
Yeah, and again, the in some ways there's some differences. Some ways they're the same, but we use different language. So you know, we don't talk, you know, about poverty and the poor. We talk about, you know, economic prosperity and thriving and creating pathways for opportunity. You know, we ask people to be charitable, but we don't frame our work in the, you know, in the language of charity. It is, you know, it's investment. It's it's community support. Those things are different. I mean, just even work that we do, but especially other partner organizations do around disability, just the language, you know, they're you know,
Words change
and language evolves and how we, you know, how we talk about those things.
Well, and attitudes change as well.
You know, and again, going back to the history, childcare really rose to the one of the, you know, top of the piles during World War II, and that was in part because the number of women who entered the workforce at that time out of necessity.
Yeah.
Childcare was an absolute necessity that went with that, and you can't separate, you know, economic circumstance and access to childcare in any era.
Right.
And again, that's not to say that childcare is exclusively a women's issue. Mm-hmm. It's a family issue. Mm-hmm.
But it certainly started.
But that was one of the places where that trend line started.
It's a cultural inflection, essentially.
Yeah, absolutely.
That moment.
Yeah,
yeah. And of course, the philanthropic shift right now that you're looking at and sort of detailed at the 100th celebration on Wednesday night, I think was also met with a great amount of enthusiasm from the crowd when you detailed that. And if you're not into those sort of, I guess, jargon or words, if you're not in that ecosystem, you might feel a little on the outside of that. So maybe let's unpack that a little.
Sure. So let's just sort of start with, you know, sort of two terms, and then we go. So the first one that I threw out there was trust-based philanthropy,
right?
And then the other one was general operating support. Mm-hmm. So trust-based philanthropy basically says that the funder, the person making the investment, is not always the expert, and that you know, the traditional model of giving is, you know, very directive. Here's the dollar, here's the outcome, here's the expectation, and we're going to tell you how to do your work better.
Okay. So a more directed model, essentially.
More directive model. And there are two things with that. One, it really separates you know, the expertise from the money. And when we really invest that trust on the folks who are doing the work. But that's also, from an equity perspective, you know, a model that, you know, has traditionally privileged, you know, like white funders giving to exclusively white organizations. You know, it is, you know, the power of the donor and the power of the recipient being, you know there is that sort of hierarchy.
Yeah.
So trust-based philanthropy sort of tries to break that down and say, no, we want to ask you to be, you know, to be accountable to some outcomes so that we can say to the folks who are donating to us and then through us to you that there's a return on that investment.
Sure.
And if your work is around early childhood education, that, you know, you can show some progress in language development or social emotional skills or learning readiness.
Mm-hmm. It's a reasonable expectation.
It's
right?
an absolutely reasonable expectation. Mm-hmm. So when we say trust, it's also a two-way relationship. And it also becomes much more collaborative. How do we, you know, how do we help you build your capacity? How do we define those benchmarks or those outcomes together?
So with some data, basically, you have the ability of funding these service providers, these organizations, and saying, we know that you are in this fight. You know how to deal with this. Yeah. You're going to do it. Here's the money. Take care of it and show us what you did.
Right. And so we still ask that the organizations that apply indicate what priority area, and as we talked about last night, we're in the process of shifting those priorities, but, you know, early childhood education is something that will remain, you know, strong and vibrant and vital and a priority for us. But if you're in that early childhood education space, what are the things that you are going to focus on in your work, and what are the outcomes that you want to demonstrate? And then within that, you know, your budget doesn't have to be this, oh, well, we're going to do this, and if that changes, no, it's we will give you the dollars to carry out that work in the best way possible. So if that's staffing, if that's utilities, if that's equipment, whatever the indicator is that you need, it's helping to just let the experts invest the funds where they will do the best work for them.
So instead of forcing some sort of a special program to sort of bring the funds in, you say, look, we know what you're doing with the funds, and there are general operating needs for this organization without which you would not have an organization, right?
And that's exactly, you know, and so this is something new for us. We piloted it for the 2023-2024 funding cycle. We're going to extend that into a second year, just because we only started getting 6-month data from our funded partners a couple months ago, and you know, crunching that, and we want to see the year end data and really build it. And it's something that you know, our board is interested in and supportive of, but to say that we're gonna adopt this model as our standard going forward, we really need to have that data to look at. And it's been interesting because it is an emerging trend and a best practice, and we've talked to you know, other funders who've done it, and it's always something that's met understandably with a little bit of curiosity and maybe skepticism of this is a new approach, and how do we make sure that we do have that data and we do have mutual accountability, and that's the thing that we're learning, and it takes time, and it's a direction that we are among the first, and I'm being very cautious. I believe we're the first organization in Berkshire County to really jump into this in this way, but I'll say among the first just so I don't I don't get a phone call. And then last year, United Way of Mass Bay, which is the biggest United Way in Massachusetts, took this same approach. And what I will say is that being in Boston and having access to, you know, major media markets, United Way of Mass Bay, did get the attention of the first, the first of its kind,
of course,
strategic shift. So I say very, with a great deal of respect, because our friends at Mass Bay are doing incredible work at a different scale. But I do raise my hand and go, well, actually, we're about 6 months ahead of you, and that's okay. Yeah.
And sometimes it takes a more nimble, smaller organization to take those steps and to see through and say, okay, this is going to work. You know, let's give this a try, where a larger organization may not have all that flexibility as a bigger, turning around a battleship and things like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Tom Bernard is our guest here this morning on Morning Drive, 89.7 WTBR FM. And he is the president and CEO of the Berkshire United Way. We will be right back after this short top of the hour break that we always take to thank our underwriters and to tell you what station you're listening to and good stuff like that. We'll be right back after this and talk more about specific areas of focus for the Berkshire United Way, and then also the Here for Good Volunteer Month, which actually has already started April 2nd to May 11th. We're going to throw that out there and talk more about that in the second half of the show.
Absolutely.
So Morning Drive will be right back after this. Stick around.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
Oh, yeah!
89.7 WTBR FM Pittsfield.
Support for WTBR comes from MyCom Federal Credit Union, 101 Fenn Street in Pittsfield, where their mission is to continue to promote the principle of people helping people while providing services that meet the diverse and ever-changing needs of their membership. MyCom Federal Credit Union, online at mycomcu.org. And do you need help heating your home? Berkshire Community Action Council may be able to help. The Fuel Assistance Program is accepting new applications beginning November 1st. This program assists with your primary heating source, including all heating types. Once you're eligible for fuel assistance, you're also eligible for a discount on your electric bill. Go to bcacinc.org for more information.
PCTV Select is now available on so many platforms. You can get it with any device you have available, all free to download and use. If you're watching at home, use your Roku, Amazon, Fire TV, or Apple TV device, or even your computer, and see programming in full HD quality. Watching on the go? Download PCTV Select from the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store for your smartphone. It's that easy and free. PCTV Select is everywhere you need to be.
Thinking about starting a successful business or expanding an existing one? We've helped over 1,500 businesswomen and men do just that. We're the Massachusetts Small Business Development Center Network, located in Pittsfield, and we cover all of Berkshire County. Contact us at 499-0933 or visit us on the web at msbdc.org/Berkshire. Best of all, our services are free and confidential.
Only on WTBR FM. Ho, 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 ho.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. BCC provides access to higher education to everyone in Berkshire County and beyond, offering more than 50 high-quality programs, small class sizes, and an affordable education to help their students of all ages achieve their dreams. At BCC, their middle name is Community. And from Tim's Lawn Care, it's almost time for spring cleanups. Tim's Lawn Care can also take care of your landscaping, lawn care, mulching, and more. Tim's Lawn Care, 413-281-4222 and online at timslawncarelandscaping.com.
You have chosen wisely.
WTBR. And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, welcome back to Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. Sean Sayre here with you on Friday, April 12th, and yes, you've reached Friday. It is a little gray and a little wet and windy out there. I did hear a couple of strong gusts before I woke up this morning, woke me right out of my house, but we'll have a little bit more on the weather here in just a moment, and then back to our interview with Tom Bernard, the president and CEO of Berkshire United Way. But before we do that, let's get to the National Weather Service forecast and find out what other wet weather we have.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Today, a slight chance of thunderstorms, showers, breezy and not as cool with highs in the lower 60s. Temperature falling into the mid-50s this afternoon. South wind 15 to 25 miles per hour with gusts up to 45 miles per hour. Chance of rain 80%. Tonight, mostly cloudy. A chance of showers after midnight. Cooler with lows around 40. Southwest wind 15 to 20 miles per hour with gusts up to 30 miles per hour. Chance of rain 40%. Saturday, showers likely. Much cooler. Near steady temperature in the lower 40s. West wind 15 to 20 miles per hour. Gusts up to 35 miles per hour in the afternoon. Chance of rain 60%. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
All right, there you have it, the weather forecast for today, and might want to put that raincoat on. Going to be dodging those raindrops a little bit. And that's the way it happens in April. Welcome back to the show, Morning Drive, here on 89.7 WTBR-FM. Tom Bernard, thanks again for joining me this morning.
Hey, Sean, how are you?
Always good talking to you.
Thank you.
So the Berkshire United Way, of course, celebrating 100 years serving Berkshire County just this past week with their centennial celebration at the Colonial Theater. What a wonderful event that was. And we've been talking about philanthropy and sort of the growing of that over 100 years and the adaptability of it. Three new priorities, or not new priorities, certainly, three focus priorities for the Berkshire United Way now have emerged. And let's talk about those for a moment. School and career readiness, number one.
Yeah. So, previously, we had, you know, early childhood education and positive youth development, and and in looking at the data and really thinking about this, we just started to look at these as much more connected. Mm. So it's that entire pipeline from early childhood education to what happens, you know, when a young person finishes high school, and you know, we are thinking differently, and I know a lot of our partners are thinking differently and really encouraging us to say, you know, it's career in college, right? So it's that opportunity that may be a vocation, a trade, being important as the pathway to college, and knowing, you know, as the economy changes, that opportunities in those areas are really strong. but it's the work of everything that happens in learning readiness with these incredible educators, you know, in center-based care programs, in home providers for the youth. It's mentorships, it's career training, it's camps, it's after school and out of school programs. It's all of these, you know, all of these things, and you know, I'm gonna do something risky here and just, you know, shout out one program in particular, which is, you know, Barrington Stage Company and their you know, their playwright mentoring program, because I just had a chance to be at one of their performances recently, and you just see the impact it has on young people. And I know I've talked in the past about like the work that Flying Cloud does with their programs, and you know, Rope and the work that Shirley Edgerton does. I mean, all of these things that are mentorship and you know, career focused. Railroad Street Youth Project, Green Agers. You know, it's all just unbelievably important. And then
these are all enrichment.
Enrichment. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah. I mean, again, language changes, right?
Yeah, right. And but so important. You think of the core stuff that must be offered, has to be offered, getting through daily life, getting to class, getting grades, you know, all the things that make a school experience and preparing you for whatever the next step is. Without those enrichment activities, the things that really fill in those gaps that maybe light the fire for somebody to say, wow, that's fantastic. I didn't know that existed. Absolutely. I want to do that. That's something I never would have experienced this had it not been for an opportunity like that. Those are really, really important.
Right. And you know, our partners would also remind us that, you know, it's also about just how are you a human in the world. So not every enrichment needs to be in the service of, you know, a career path or a college application. But some of these things are just things that people do because, you know, kids get to be kids. And you know, we don't want to lose sight of that. And then the other part in this area that's really important, and we've done some work with Representative Farley Bouvier and our partners and the Department of Early Education and Care is just making sure that the early childhood educators have the support they need, whether that's, you know, again, the term frontline worker, essential worker has fallen a little bit out of vogue. We don't hear it as much as we used to. But these are folks who
are reminded how important it was, though.
Yeah.
Right? And is.
And that as the needs and the, you know, the young folks have really struggled and continue to struggle. And those struggles translate into the caregivers and the educators. Mm-hmm. So how do we make sure that they have the supports they need? And then, again, I said this, you know, my two favorite words, regional equity. How do we make sure that educators here have access to the same kind of professional development and support that educators in Boston or Worcester or parts of the Pioneer Valley or Springfield have? Yeah. Because they're doing the same work, they're facing the same challenges, and they don't always have access to the same level of support, which is why,
and some of that is pay equity as well.
Some of that, a lot of that is pay equity, and that's why also the work that Berkshire United Way does, in addition to funding around, you know, convening and bringing people together, is so important. Mm. And among other things, it is a professional development opportunity. Mm-hmm. Again, that doesn't mean, hey, we've got it, and other parts, you know, the state can put up their hands and say, oh, you guys are doing okay. It's like, no, if you're providing resources to these educators, you got to provide them to the educators in the Berkshires as well.
Yeah, and we expect a lot out of our early educators, right?
Oh, my Lord.
The qualifications, the professional development, the level of education, and then we turn around and we say, well, but it's only worth this much.
Right. And again,
worth equation that has to change.
Yeah, and I keep coming back to language and you know, again, term that's not in vogue anymore and shouldn't be, you know, daycare. It's not daycare. Mm. It is education. Mm-hmm. It is foundational education that is helping these, you know, infants and toddlers get ready to learn.
Yeah.
And they're, you know, they're
critical
coming in.
Critical time in their lives.
Critical time. And you know, we know that family stability can be a challenge, and young people and you know, they're facing challenges in home life that make the learning equation just even harder because whether it's, you know, trauma or those social emotional challenges, it's just huge. Yeah.
Focus number two, mental health. And I'm putting them in order, but there isn't probably a specific order.
Yeah. Yeah. These are co-equal and really interconnected, but this, you know, I said, this is a new area for us, and in some ways that's true. There are organizations, you know, right now we're funding NAMI and we're funding the work that Berkshire Horse Works does, and there are other areas that touch on this. Mm-hmm. But in looking at the data and talking with our board, people really pushed us to not just talk about sort of this, you know, community health, but to really get focused on mental health, because that's where the struggle is. Mm-hmm. That's where we're seeing, you know, we're seeing needs. And as I said the other night, our job is not to come in and say we're the experts, you know, we're the pros from Dover, and drop, you know, just step in and say we're gonna fix this. Mm. It's doing some analysis. It's using the resources that we have, these convenings, to say, hey, can we bring you together? Are there gaps? Are there places where you need that advocacy support, where you need to build connections and relationships among your network to make it stronger, to know when you reach the limit of your, you know, your mission-focused work, where are those handoff points and those transition points? Mm-hmm. One of the things that we have as a lever is the Mass 211 system, which is a great resource. It is underused in the Berkshires. Yeah. That's a frustration, but it's also an opportunity. And so we want to just make sure that system that we're part of, that Berkshire United Way and the other United Ways of Massachusetts pay into, is serving people in the Berkshires, and it's serving them well.
And give us a brief recap on the 211.
Yeah, so 211 is that free resource line. If you don't know where to turn to get connected to services, you call Mass 211, and you can also do it, you know, online, you know. But you'll get connected with a knowledgeable operator who can navigate for you and can point you in the direction. Mm. And there are two sort of adjacent pieces. One is the call to talk system. That's that I would call it non-crisis, but that you know, somebody just needs to talk and you know, needs that voice, that warm voice, mm-hmm. at a moment of crisis. Mm-hmm. That's the place to turn. And then connected to that is also the 988 suicide prevention line, which is in some ways an escalation,
right.
of that work. Mm-hmm.
And this is all tied together, obviously.
It's all tied together.
Focus priority for,
yeah,
under mental,
yeah,
health, and shedding a new light and a new focus on that during these times seems very appropriate.
Yeah, and I mean the mayor has started. You know, he came out of the gate really strong with substance, mm-hmm. you know, substance misuse and mental health, and establishing, mm-hmm. the task force.
Yeah.
And so we see that opportunity, and we do see that substance use and recovery is another area, mm-hmm. that is connected. Again, not one where we're going to charge in, but what we, yeah, want to understand, because that is a system that has so many dimensions, whether you're talking about, you know, peer support, whether you're talking about clinical support, whether you're talking about medically assisted support, mm-hmm. they all are focused on the same end goals. But there are differences in philosophy. There are differences in strategy, research base. So we don't want to go in and say, hey, we're going to bring everybody who does mental health together and get you all singing from the same hymnal.
Yeah.
But it's, what are the areas where there is collaboration? And who, mm-hmm. else is in this network,
yeah,
that may be the transition point?
And one thing we've learned in this county, in this area over the last few years, is that there sometimes aren't enough services in this area for mental, yeah, health. There aren't enough people,
right,
to serve the population that are presenting the needs.
Right.
So certainly,
right,
that's an area where a focus is appropriate.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And then the last area is household stability. Mm. And this is sort of an evolution from what we had called economic prosperity, because it's much bigger than that. And in some ways, it's, you said, you know, that what order you put these in.
Yeah.
In some ways, household stability is the most important thing.
Sure.
And in some ways, if we do the other things well, they contribute to household stability.
Yeah.
So equally important.
Mm. So but what kinds of things would
yeah,
feed
so,
into household
so,
stability?
The volunteer work we do, where we help with the food access system. Back in January, we did that secondhand clothing drive. So you'll hear these really basic needs.
Mm-hmm.
The 211 system, again, helping people get connected to the services they need. The community navigation work that we support through convenings. I want to, as part of our, you know, fundraising going into this next campaign, really not at the expense of what we're doing. So I want to raise more money,
mm-hmm.
But to have a dedicated fund for whether you call it emergency response or basic needs, mm-hmm. those dollars that are, you know, not tied to our funding priorities and our application cycle, but where we can do what we did with COVID and, mm-hmm. have rapid response dollars, mm-hmm. side by side with the incredible work that our partners are doing.
Mm-hmm. So household stability really is centered around your basic needs, housing in there.
Housing is absolutely, yeah, in there. I'm not announcing that Berkshire United Way is going to become a housing agency.
No.
I don't have that expertise. We don't,
mm-hmm.
but we know we got to be at the table with the experts. We can, yeah, we can support them in understanding, in advocating, in, yeah, just making the case that we need more, better housing at every, right, at every income level. I mean, yeah, there are these, you know, I've talked to some partners who are interested in things like, you know, land trusts and housing trusts that I don't fully understand yet, but it's something that if there's a role for us to play, we'd love to, love to explore.
Yep, yep.
And then within
food
this
insecurity,
food security, things like that. Yeah. And mm-hmm. within this, and this standing on the stage was the place where I heard probably the most powerful audience reaction is, putting a focus on everyone who earns less than $75,000, or no, who has less than $75,000 a year in resources. It's not necessarily an earnings thing alone.
Right.
And what I said was, and this is Berkshire Regional Planning data, that's just over half. It's like 50.1 or 2% of households in Berkshire County fit into this. Under 75,000.
That's a pretty eye-opening.
It's a huge number, and there was this sort of like, And mm-hmm. and that again, that doesn't necessarily mean your paycheck, but it's wages
yeah.
and it's, you know, if you have a childcare stipend mm-hmm. or a health stipend or housing, you know, all of these things
yeah.
that people have that are making, you know, making base self-sufficiency mm-hmm. possible, you know, it adds up to, you know, to a dollar amount in the mid 70s. Some estimates go even mm-hmm. higher.
That wouldn't go very far in Boston.
It wouldn't go very far in Boston.
And it doesn't go very far in Berkshire.
And this is Berkshire. This is Berkshire. And again, this isn't you're saving for retirement. This isn't,
right.
you know, anything. And these are folks. And again, we also know that there are people far, far, far below this aspirational number, even with the benefits. And so there are two things to that. One, we know that the measures by which we measure poverty in this country are broken, and they haven't changed, and so those indicators are broken. But there's we've talked about the cliff effect.
Yeah.
The folks who do, you know, everything that we tell people and educate people and you know, we promote as the American dream of, you know, work hard, mm-hmm. you know, save, study, and your circumstances will increase. Mm. Well, if your circumstances increase slightly and you lose benefits, it's called the cliff effect because you feel like you're falling off a cliff, but it holds folks back. And that's why things like the food access system become so important, because they are, you know, they are one of the early indicators as need goes up, because access to food is something that people can get to more easily than, say, additional dollars if their health insurance cost rises or if they're no longer eligible for mass health.
Yeah.
But it's a really vulnerable population. There are methodologies in other parts of the country that United Way is part of. Massachusetts hasn't signed on to this, that really laser focus on this, and we're going to do what we can to pull from that. But it's that whole circumstance, and how do we make sure that people are stable, and so we want to talk about thriving. And so the last thing, and I just want to make sure I get all the words right, this for us all builds to our vision. And the vision is, when you have access to the services and support you need to be safe, healthy, and financially secure, you can achieve your goals. And as I said the other night, the thing I like about that is, again, it's another shift from how we usually talk about philanthropy. It's centering the individual. It's mm-hmm. it's your goals. Mm-hmm. It's you know, your needs. And that's critically important. Yep. We want to work with people. We don't want to act on them in that traditional, you know, paternalistic model of philanthropy. And it becomes really, really critically important.
But those are the building blocks of a more healthy society in so many ways. Right. One at a time.
It's one at a time, and it's also the health of the entire community is the health of you know, how we partner and engage with folks who are vulnerable to understand the needs that they have and build from there. And it's equity.
Yeah. Tom Bernard is our guest here this morning, president and CEO of the Berkshire United Way. And this is Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR FM. In the minutes that we've got left, Tom, we definitely want to talk about Here for Good Volunteer Month.
Right? It's come around again.
And this is another critical part. If you're talking about charitable giving, part of that is
time and talent.
Right.
You know, the people who give back. And so, as always, I make the pitch for our website, berkshireunitedway.org, and our volunteer site, which you can access from there, or that's volunteerberkshireuw.org. And that's our service where you can see the opportunities, you can post the opportunities. But yeah, we started earlier this month. Taconic had a finance fair. They're trying to do financial literacy, and PHS is doing that. Today,
that's
so
great.
we're going to be partnering in that. Focus is our children. Manny Slaughter's organization has got some new space, so we've been helping to coordinate some painting projects
that's
in
great.
in there.
Lots of ways to use your talents if you and you may not even know you have those talents,
you can get there and make
a difference.
And you know, again, you know, swinging a hammer at Habitat or a paint roller, you get to know the people that you're working with, and you realize there's just so many great people in the community, and companies bring their folks together, and it's a team building, and it inspires that spirit of giving back. So let me tell you what else we have. Next Saturday at April 20th, we'll do our meal packing event, our Meals for Good event. We're going to be at the Boys and Girls Club. You can find the exact time, but, you know, morning to mid-afternoon. I know there's some Earth Day projects on the 22nd. We're helping Berkshire Pride. We're helping them with volunteer coordination. So I think we're back at Hot Plate on the 24th. Get on board. We talked a little bit about this before. We're partnering with Nonprofit Center of the Berkshires. Board members are volunteers. And it's a particular kind of volunteer service, and one that every organization needs. Mm-hmm. And so we're having this matchmaking event where people can come together. We're going to be at Shakespeare and Company. And it's a chance for organizations to introduce themselves and people understand what does it mean to be a board member? How do I get on board?
Yeah. And what is involved when you're on a board?
What are your responsibilities?
You know, there are responsibilities, and you kind of learn that along the way. If you've never joined a board of directors before, you sort of fit in with a group, and you sort of understand what that organization needs, and also what generally, when you serve on a board of directors, what's expected of you. And as you said, it sort of builds more relationships with people that you may not have been, you know, thinking about connecting with, and it's really rewarding experience.
Yeah, it really, really is. It's people power. You know, we talk about collective power. We talk about collective impact, and that's, again, the multiplier effect of dollars that people donate. You know, we're able to witness that and make those investments of those invested dollars. But the invested time and the multiplier effect of people coming together is huge. And then on May 11th, which is sort of the culmination for us, we're doing two. I figured it's like a doubleheader, you know, last day of the season, let's play two. We're doing a shred day. We did this last year through, you know, in partnership with Greylock Federal Credit Union. It's a chance, you know, if you've got all that stuff you got to get rid of, they bring the giant
shredder,
the big shredder truck. And you know, we ask for a modest donation and you know, you can just get rid of stuff. And last year I had a little fun and I, you know, I don't know if I can do this, but I did cut a Randy Savage shred day. Come on down.
We should absolutely make that promo. A WTBR promo.
Yes. Let's cut it. don't miss it.
we'll put the music behind
it. We'll put the music. Yeah. And then the other event that day is the United Way's nationally partner with the Letter Carriers Union, and that's the Letter Carriers Food Drive Day. So we'll be, you know,
great helping event.
Sort. Yeah, it really is. And again, another one that food access being so important, and just knowing it's one of those easy ways. Just, you know, we'll send out the reminders and hope people pick up, you know, a few extra items, and they just leave it out. And when the carrier brings the mail, they pick up the food, and it gets distributed locally. So that's important.
Great. And for people listening today to our inspiring conversation, tell them how they can get involved. They're at their fingertips right now. They say, this is great. I want to be involved. How do I do it?
BerkshireUnitedWay.org. I know there's two ways immediately to get involved. First of all, there's a button that says donate. We always welcome the donation. Mm-hmm. And then the other is there's a link that says volunteer. And that, again, takes you to volunteerberkshireuw.org, which is our volunteer site. Mm-hmm. So together, those are two great ways immediately. And in the last 30 seconds, I just want to put in a pitch that on May 8th at the Berkshire Athenaeum, we are sponsoring showing of a documentary called Uncharitable, which is about changes in philanthropy. And We'll have more coming out about that, and we're really hoping some of our nonprofit partners. And it's really, it's an interesting film. I've seen it. There's a lot about it I like. There's some parts that I think need to be placed in some context. Yeah. So we'll have a little bit of a talk back afterward. But
so that's May 8th at the Berkshire F&AM.
Yeah, it was just spark a little conversation.
Very good.
And again, it's about how is philanthropy changing?
Yeah. Fantastic conversation this morning, Tom. Tom Bernard from the Berkshire United Way. Always great to have you on the show. And so many things coming up. So many ways to get involved and help your community.
Thanks, Sean.
Thank you for being here. And again, congratulations to the United Way for 100 years.
Thanks. And community. It's all people power. It's the power of the team. It's the power of everyone. So
absolutely.
I get to talk, but I got to thank so many people. Take care.
All right. Thanks, everybody. Have a great weekend. We'll see you again next week. Bye-bye.